What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. Welcome, my darling. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special, I think, recording of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. It is midnight right now. I think you can tell by my voice that it's not middle of the day and all this energy, but it's midnight. And midnight in Sweden means I'm looking out at this beautiful view of the lake in front of me, and the sky still is pretty bright. I mean, the sun has set. It set like an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, maybe 2 hours ago. But I mean, it's not dark. You know, that's what summertime or getting close to summertime in Sweden is like. It's still semi-bright outside. I have candles lit all over this beautiful cabin where we're staying right now. Spent the entire day cleaning this cabin, and I mean deep cleaning. It feels really good. And, you know, I have a 4-year-old sleeping in our little loft upstairs who might wake up complaining and crying for me at any moment. She's not really sleeping well or going to bed well. She went to sleep at 9:30 tonight. So I took the last hours of this evening to just have some me time, like made some vegan tacos and ate some guacamole and watched Netflix, which I haven't done in a really long time. And it was really beautiful. And I just cleaned the kitchen, was about to go to bed. I mean, as I said, it's midnight and, you know, I really should be in bed. I have a kid that wakes up at 7 every day. And then somehow I find myself taking out my podcast equipment. Not because I have to. I mean, I could record this show tomorrow. I'll find a moment in the day. But here I am. You know, sometimes it happens with this show that I find myself absolutely just intuitively guided to record, to speak, to share. Most of the time when I record these episodes, I have no clue what I'm going to talk about. I mean, if you listen to this show, you know, I wing it every day of my life. I'm just winging it. You know, with this show, I just turn on the mic and I talk. You know, it's really rare that I have a plan or a topic or an idea, or, you know, if I have a guest, then yes, I have an idea, but most of the time it's just me. And there's a lot of really beautiful things unfolding in my life right now. And as I say those words, I just close my eyes as I said those words. I'm kind of teleported back to sitting in my podcast room at the top of our house at home in Aruba, crying because I was so sick and feeling such despair, you know, not knowing what was wrong. And I remember I had so many times this year recording this show where I was feeling so much grief and so much despair. And I kept saying, I mean, I think I said it in maybe 3 or 4 episodes, that I know there's going to be a moment when I get to sit down and record this show and I feel grateful. You know, I said that when I was really sick and didn't know why I was sick. I didn't know why I didn't get better, you know, for months and months. And then I found out we had toxic mold in every nook and cranny of our house, and we had to move out and we lost our home and our normalcy in our lives. And I cried recording this show. And I said, I know there's going to be a moment where I get to sit down recording this show somewhere and I'll feel grateful. Things will make sense. And sitting here right now at midnight on, you know, May 19th, in the middle of the woods in a tiny cabin in Sweden, I can take this breath and cry and say that that moment is now. That moment is now. I guess that's what brought me to recording this show in the middle of the night right now and not tomorrow, you know, because that dawning, that realization, that gratitude, it just came my way. It just happened. I mean, I've been feeling a lot of gratitude over the past couple of days. If you follow me on Instagram, I've shared some just really beautiful days. Like I find myself at the end of the day, just looking through my story. Like I share little snippets. Like I'm barely on my phone. And sometimes I'll share a lot on Instagram story and maybe it looks like I'm sharing a lot, but you know, I might be sharing a 15-second snippet and then another 15-second snippet. And I do that a couple times. And for the rest of the day, I forget I have a phone. You know, or I'm sharing something at the end of the day and it's like, I'm not online. I'm not in my inbox. I'm not taking any meetings. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not stressing about anything, you know, and I'm sitting at the end of the day, kind of looking through those little snippets of my story that day. And I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. Wow. Our lives right now really are something else, you know? And these last few days, it's been building a little bit. Today is marks the third week of our stay here in Sweden. And I think the first week was a little bit of shock, like transition. Just how did we end up here? And whoa, what is this now? And okay. And then the second week was kind of a settling, I think, a grounding, a softening, a calming down, kind of almost like I was putting down my armor, you know, one layer at a time. And then this last week, it's been building to joy. And all throughout this week, I've had a little more gratitude every day, a little more of wow. And today, I mean, there was nothing special about today other than that it's maybe the best day of my life. And I've had so many of these days, you know, this week, just days that in the grand scheme of things, you know, I'm not accomplishing anything or winning any awards or doing something extraordinary or, you know, doing any of the things that I would have imagined would be the best day, you know. I'm just in this cabin. You know, today we woke up and I decided we have to clean. You know, it's time to clean the cabin. We had a lot of ants in the kitchen. I've been making dandelion honey or dandelion syrup and left it on the counter and we had like an ant explosion and I was like, oh man, okay, I've got to really clean. So I started cleaning and then I realized, oh, I really, really enjoy this process of really cleaning. And I mean, in Aruba at home, like we have help at home. We have Carmen. I mean, I've spoken about her on the show, not that much, but Carmen, she's a part of the family. You know, she helps us at the house. If we end up moving to Sweden, we're bringing her here. I mean, she really wants that. She's married to a Dutch guy in Aruba and they both want to move. So yeah, but at home in Aruba, I have help. You know, I have this amazing human who helps me around the house. So, and I mean, I'm cleaning and organizing and picking up stuff. And, you know, I'm doing the things of the day to day all day. I mean, sometimes I feel like all I do is clean, but it's not true because I have help, right? So the deep cleaning stuff, like getting out the vacuum and like taking things out of the cupboards to wipe down the shelves and, you know, the deep cleaning stuff, like even like changing the sheets, I rarely do. Like she does that for us. And I've lost a bit of that connection to what it's like to really tend to my own home. And of course, having help at the house, it's been one of those things that was like a milestone for me that, oh, I want to get to a place where I can afford to hire help so I can focus on work, so I can focus on Leia, so I can, yeah, mostly work, mostly work, you know, come home at the end of a long day and not have to clean the house, you know, not have, get rid of one of those layers of stress. And it's been this amazing thing. And I'm grateful for that every day. And also she's, you know, she's a part of the family. She's a companion that I talk to and a friend every day. But it's also kind of made me a bit disconnected to what it's really like to tend to your own home. I mean, really, like these basic things that I've been taking for granted for a while. You know how long it's been since I hung my own laundry outside? Like we have a dryer at home. It's been a long time since I hung. I mean, when we cleaned out all of our clothes from all the toxic mold, I hung every every sweater, you know, every all of that. Like I had to hand wash and I hung all of that. But it was not the same. You know, that was like a panic moment of trying to salvage our items. But just that regular day-to-day, like hanging out your sheets from the wash to dry, you know, on the line between a couple trees and the sun, like I don't do that. That's not part of my regular day. You know, if I'm doing laundry, I throw it in the dryer and I'm done with it. You know, that's it. Like a lot of that basic tending to the home. Like, you know how long it's been since I built a fire? I was trying to think about that the other day. I can't remember. I literally cannot remember the last time I made a fire. Chopped wood. I don't know if I've chopped wood in my entire life. Truthfully, honestly. Like I know, you know, our summer house when I was little, like we had a fire. I never tended the fire. Like I never chopped any wood. I can't remember who did that. Like I'm going to assume it was my mom or an uncle. I don't know. But those kinds of basic things of, you know, just deep cleaning this cabin. So we did that today. I'm saying we, it's just me. Like I'm alone here. I have a four-year-old. She thinks she's helping. She's mostly making messes, right? But she's like helping slash exploring slash playing all through the day. And then we took breaks to eat and had breakfast and then kept cleaning and then vacuumed everything. And then I made lunch and, you know, had a snack. And like, the whole day was just like, I cleaned out every part of this cabin and hung a bunch of sheets and laundry. And when everything was done, you know, when the whole, like that feeling of the whole entire house, like knowing everything is clean and spotless. And it's not even my house, you know, I don't own this house. Like we're renting the space really temporarily. But there's a feeling to that, a contentment, you know, feeling of just being really content. And then we went down to the dock and I took a swim, the longest cold swim I've had since we came here. Like a long, like I really feel like I can swim across the lake now. Like that's how I feel about it. It's not bad. Like the cold, it's good. It's really good. And Leia thinks she's swimming. She's dipping her feet and she's like, I swam too. And I'm like, sure you did. You know? And then we're running back up from the lake and chasing Ringo. And just, there's a lot of laughter all day, you know, really a lot of laughter all day. And then yesterday we went to the Museum of Natural History, which has been this thing that Leia's wanted to do, I mean, forever. And she got a little umbrella at the gift shop. So when we came back from the swim, it started raining and it started raining a lot, like kind of a heavy rain right away. And I was like, oh shit, we have all this laundry. And it took me all day and I just hung it. And oh my God, oh no. And I see Leia's face, it just lights up. She's like, Mama, it's raining. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And she said, no, I get to use my umbrella. And she's so excited about it, you know? And I'm like, you know what? You're right. It's raining. It's just fucking rain. You know, who cares about the laundry? It's just laundry. Like, yeah, let's use your umbrella. Like, what do you want to do? She says, I want to have a snack under the umbrella. And I'm like, okay. You know? So I made some tea and we got some cookies and she wanted an avocado. that's just who she is. And we just huddled together underneath this tiny, I mean, it was like a kid umbrella, you know, one of those tiny little kid, like child-sized umbrellas. And we're like huddling under this umbrella, just sitting there watching the laundry get wet, you know? And I swear to God, it's like my, one of the best moments of my life, you know? I can't really explain it more than that. You know, and then at the end of the day, and this was such a treat. This was like the best treat of all time. I got a massage. Oh, every day since we came here, I've had, and I've been trying to figure it out. Like I have this unbelievable back tension, not the same kind of back pain I normally have, but it's kind of like I wake up in the morning and it feels like I lifted weights the day before, or like I went to CrossFit, or I'm sore. It's like I feel run over by something. I wake up every day and it's like I can barely move my head. My neck is so tight, so tense. My whole back, doesn't matter how much yoga I do or self-massage, or I'm lying on this little like Shakti mat, like I'm sitting with an infrared light, like I'm doing all this stuff, like rubbing myself with CBD at night. And, you know, every morning I wake up the same. So today I got a massage. This girl came to the house and it was such a treat. And I had a whole entire hour. Leia watched a movie and had dinner and I got a massage. And it was just like, it was magic. It was magic, 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 magic. And then that's it. She left. I put Leia to bed. Only took 2 hours. You know, it's kind of like our days are amazing. Bedtime is fucking shit, but it's okay. Like I'm not even going to complain about bedtime. Like bedtime, it sucks. She doesn't want to go to bed. She's 4. It is what it is. Our days are so good. It doesn't matter that bedtime sucks, you know. But it does bring me to this place of when she's finally asleep, because I don't have a second to myself all day. You know, at 9:30, I kind of want to go to bed too. You know, it's like I'm tired, but that's my alone time, right? That's the time I'm all by myself. So I'm like, no, I need to do something. I need to like enjoy. Like I just need to be, you know, I just need to be alone for a moment. So I had my tacos and, you know, watched some Netflix. And then literally like after just cleaning up in the kitchen, about to go upstairs to go to bed, it's midnight. I had this moment of gratitude. It just really fucking hit me. And it hit me in this way of not like epiphany, you know, earth shattering, like, holy shit, you know, it's happened and everything makes sense now and life is perfect. No, I mean, we still don't have a place to live. We still don't know where we're going to live. We still have no clarity about anything, but I'm really grateful right now. I'm really, 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 really grateful. And I can even say that all the things that happened that brought us to this place, I'm really grateful that they happened. And that might sound strange, you know, because what happened was that we lost our home and all of our belongings and all 3 of us got really sick, right? It's like all bad things. But I'm really, really, really grateful that I got here. I'm really grateful that I found out what was happening to our bodies. I mean, I cannot emphasize enough the difference I feel in my entire being, in my body. People ask me all the time, how is your health? And I don't even want to answer. I don't know how to answer those things because every day I feel so different. Like every day there's a new something that shifts or changes. I really feel like I'm like in a metamorphosis or something. Like I'm coming out of the cocoon and I don't know what tomorrow is. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. What I really can say is living with toxic mold for an extended time, right, for years, what the mold does, and this is hard to explain for someone that hasn't had the experience of toxic mold. I have one friend who's had the experience, and she's the only one I can talk to. I mean, I talk to other friends about stuff, but I can't get that, you know, resonance of someone looking at you and they see you and they understand. Like, you cannot understand. You can't have this conversation with people who haven't been through it. You just can't. But basically, living with mold toxicity, it's kind of like having a parasite inside of your body. It's kind of like having a parasite inside of your body. And 3 years ago, when I was working with Dr. Jess, I was really, really sick. Didn't know we had mold, right? Had people tell me, are you sure you don't have mold? People came to the house, no, you don't have mold. We had mold, but, you know, we didn't find it. And I got all these tests done and it came out that I had candida in my system, which is this overgrowth of bacteria in your stomach. It's like your microbiome in your gut is totally off. And you basically have fungus in your digestive system, right? So candida, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you know what candida is. It's pretty like common. I feel like it's a common thing people know about now. And that's what the test said then. And what Dr. Jess said, and she said that, she said, are you sure you don't have mold at home? And I said, no, we had its inspection. And they said, no, we don't. And it's so dry here. I mean, we couldn't have mold. And she said, you know what, like candida is usually, it's like mold's little sister, you know, like where there is candida, there's almost always mold. Like candida is not the source. Candida is a symptom of mold. It's like you're living with mold, which is you're living with all this fungus, right? And you're breathing in all of these spores and all these mycotoxins. And eventually the fungus literally starts to grow inside of your stomach, right? As candida, or sometimes it's SIBO, like overgrowth of some bacteria. Like there's lots of stuff that can happen. But she said, okay, so all these things you have going on, which I had then, which I still had 3 years later, right? Things like massive anxiety that would just show up out of the blue and not go away. Things like bouts of depression, questioning everything in my life, feeling really low on energy, feeling really tired all the time. Having a sugar craving, and I'm not kidding you, a sugar craving that was completely unmanageable. Wanting to drink wine all the time, right? The feeling of like at the end of the day, I had to have a glass of wine. It was almost like I didn't have the option to feel, is this a social moment where I want to enjoy a glass of wine? It was like glass of wine was what my body needed to settle at the end of the day. And that's a really fucked up thing, right? I mean, truly, like now that I really think of it. And you guys know me, like I'm not a hater of sugar or wine. I mean, I love sugar. I love wine. I love baking. I love enjoying wine with friends and with Dennis at dinner. Like I am a really relaxed person when it comes to foods and everything. But that feeling of not having a choice, that is fucked up. That is something I do not stand behind. I mean, I don't want to live that way. And what Dr. Jess said then was, she said, you know, all those things that you have going on, I need you to know that it's not you. It's not you, and that you don't have any willpower to like not eat sugar or not drink the wine or not feel tired. You know, it's not that something is wrong with you. It's literally the candida inside of your body that wants all of these things, and it's fucking with your brain. And she said that so many times. And she said, you need to think of this as like you have a parasite living inside of you. And the candida wants to be fed. And what does it want? It wants sugar. It wants alcohol. You know, and it messes with your brain. It creates all of these functions in the brain that literally gives you anxiety, that gets you depressed. Like that happens. And I didn't get it at the time. I really didn't. I did that. I did like a candida kind of cleanse. And then I felt like I was more depressed at the end of that because I couldn't enjoy anything in life. And also I changed so many things about my life that I didn't know what worked at the end of it. I just got a little better. Not all better, clearly, but a little better. And then now it's 3 years later and I'm here on the other end of it, right? Having had almost a month, no more than a month. I've had a month and a half without mold exposure. Almost 2 months, actually, with no, yeah. Wait, is it our 2 month anniversary today? Could be, actually. Say I've had 2 months without mold exposure, 1 month of this cleanse that I've been doing, 3 weeks in Sweden, breathing forest air, swimming in the lake, eating organic foods. Like there's been stages to my healing here. And this week, I can say fully confidently that I have kicked my sugar addiction. That I don't need to bake. I don't have that feeling of I need to have something around the house for me to enjoy. I have no craving for sugar anymore. And it's almost like I couldn't envision that being a thing that would actually, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like I thought that my personality was really based around sugar, right? And I'm not just talking, I would drink a lot of fruit smoothies and fruit juices and eat a ton of fruits and all of that. But you know, I baked every day and I would go between like, you know, I always bake vegan, of course, but I baked with a ton of sugar. I would bake like 3-layer cakes and cinnamon rolls and cookies. And like, you know, you guys follow me on social media, you'd see I'm always freaking baking. So I would eat sweets every day, kind of all day. Like after every savory meal, I had this feeling like I need something sweet. And I was kind of ashamed to talk about that or to share that because I had this feeling of, yeah, this isn't healthy. But also, I don't want to be that person who's like, oh, you can't have any sugar because everything's bad for you. Be afraid of food, because I'm not like that either. But I did have this feeling like something is not right, not because of the fact that I ate sugar sometimes, but because I had that feeling like I didn't have a choice. That's the thing that I really felt wasn't right. Like I couldn't control it, almost like I was completely out of touch with my body, for real. And now, I think it's because I'm in touch with my body in that sense. It's almost like the mold left my system in at least a big enough way that I got my intuition back. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. I was talking to my friend today who also had this exposure to mold and this mold illness. And she said it in exactly the way I would describe it, which is when you get exposed to mold, the feeling is of your entire system as if you have that scary monster from Stranger Things inside of your body. You guys have seen Stranger Things, right? If you haven't, you need to see it. It's such a good show. But there's that like demon monster that lives in the wall in Stranger Things that it's like a dark, terrifying being that just kind of devours everything in its path. That's what it feels like. That's what mold illness feels like. And that's what it feels like I've had leading the way in my body over these past years. And I've had to fight. I can't even tell you. I've had to fight to take care of myself. I mean, it's been so hard. And I've had cycles where I felt like I'm not trying hard enough, where I've shamed myself. I felt really guilty. I felt like there's something wrong with me. You know, why can't I stop eating sugar when I know sugar makes me feel like shit? Why do I feel like I have to have a glass of wine at the end of every night when I know it makes me feel like shit? Why can't I sleep better? Why can't I go to bed earlier? Why am I getting shitty sleep? You know, and then I had these cycles where, okay, I would get up at 4 a.m, you know, and get into this cycle of here's what I need to do. I need 3 hours of self-care every morning. And I still believe 100% 5 a.m. club, like, I mean, every day. I'm not doing that now, you know, alone with kid, but I dream of a day where I'll get back to that. But it was almost like the things I would have to do to feel like I'm taking care of myself, that mountain was so fucking big. And it took so much effort. It took so much effort. And at the end of the day, I still didn't feel great, right? Almost like I would maximize my input for self-care, take as good care of myself as I possibly freaking could, right? And at the end of the day, I still didn't feel great. So where is my motivation, right? And I went through those cycles, I mean, a million times where, okay, I'm going to eat raw food for a month. I'm just going to juice. I'm going to do fast. Like I did fasting for months. I fasted, you guys. I didn't talk about this because I think fasting is like a highway to eating disorders. Fasting can be super epic and great. Like I feel I've had many times where I feel amazing fasting intuitively, but I don't want to be the influencer that promotes fasting because there's a lot of people recovering from eating disorders who listen to this show, right? And who follow me online. So I never spoke about fasting and how I felt about that. So, okay, just a little note, like just because I did that and sometimes it worked for me and sometimes it didn't, doesn't mean it's for you, right? What really is for us is what intuitively feels right for us. And that's where I feel like I lost that intuition completely. So I would go through those cycles of forcing myself. Okay, I'm cutting out sugar. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to have any gluten. I'm cutting all flours out of my diet. I'm getting up at 4 a.m. I'm doing this workout and I'm running and I'm doing yoga and I'm dancing and I'm doing these Osho and I'm doing everything, like maxing it in into a day that's already really full, right? And then after weeks of that, nothing changed in my body. I mean, and I'm really serious about that. I could have one entire month of raw food and juice and no sugar or anything. And I would have to force it. It wasn't easy. You know, not eating sugar was like, yeah, no. Oh, I could shudder just thinking about it. Like, I don't want to, it felt wrong, like intuitively doing the wrong thing for my body. It was awful and so hard. And I could do that for a bunch of weeks and nothing would change. I didn't feel better. Nothing changed in my body. Didn't lose any weight. Like it wouldn't matter if I ate ice cream every day and drank wine every day or fasted and drank green juice. Nothing changed in my body. And that's what mold does. And this for me has been such an eye-opening thing to actually realize that there was nothing wrong with me. It wasn't that my willpower was lacking. It wasn't that my discipline was bad. Like I wasn't trying hard enough. Like mold makes it impossible for your body to hold on to anything good. Mold lowers your immune system until it's in the fucking basement, and every tiny little thing that you come across, you take in and you get sick, right? Mold makes you tired and you stay tired all day. And it also makes you really hyper and really stressed out and really anxious, so you can fall asleep at night, even though you know you need sleep because you're tired because you're not sleeping. You get into the cycle, right? Mold makes you depressed, makes you sad, makes you feel like life is a bad place, like it's hopeless, right? Mold makes you hold on to the bad things in your body, makes it impossible for your body to detoxify. It blocks all your detox pathways so that everything else that enters your system, like all the other toxins that you're breathing, from exhaust fumes, like when you're walking down the road, to water that isn't perfect, to non-organic vegetables, to cleaning products in your kitchen, like all the little toxins that you're exposed to every day, because we all are. When you're exposed to mold and you're suffering from mold illness, your body just absorbs fucking everything and it adds to the crisis that you're already experiencing. And I spent all this time thinking something was wrong with me. And now, I really think that was my moment of that led me to gratitude, is that I have no sugar cravings anymore. And I've thought for a decade that that's just who I am. My personality is, I'm one of those people who needs something sweet all the time. I'm one of those people who just, after every meal, like I want a little something. I want a little cookie. I want a little piece of chocolate. I want something. I want some ice cream at the end of the day, for sure, watching Netflix with my husband. Like I need something, you know, and that's just who I am. Turns out that's not who I am at all. That's mold. That's my body completely suffering a shutdown. And what feeds the candida and the overgrowth of bullshit in my system is sugar, right? That's the only thing that keeps all the bad stuff alive and that keeps my body inflamed. So it's almost like this demon inside of me has been craving all this stuff, and it hasn't been me. And now I've had the last few days really able to sense this intuition inside of my body for the first time in so long. An example of that is, like, I can be with people and then everyone's like, oh, let's have a little fika. Fika in Swedish is like snack time. And you have that a couple times a day where you have a coffee and something sweet. And that's culture here. Everybody has fika every day at some point. It's always like cake and coffee or something like that. And I can be around all these people eating delicious shit. And I know, like, I could eat that and that would be delicious. And I don't want it. And it's not like I shouldn't eat sugar, so I'm making myself not eat that. No, not at all. It's, oh, I genuinely don't want that. And I don't think I've felt that way about something sweet in my entire life, ever. I've stayed away from sugar because I've forced myself to not have sugar. You know, if I wanted to lose weight, or I want to be healthier, or I, you know, have this idea that I shouldn't have sugar, or I'm trying to not have sugar, you know, not just the feeling of, oh, I don't want that, and then not having it, you know. And then today, like when we were sitting in the little, under our little umbrella in the rain, I had this feeling like I got an espresso machine for the cabin, because I've been laughing about that so much with my friend. But it's kind of like the little luxury that Dennis and I have every morning is he makes me a cappuccino, an oat cappuccino every day. And we love our oat cappuccinos. And I have one a day. Sometimes I'll have two, but one a day is like my thing. And I don't like the Americano, like Swedish, we call it bryggkaffe, which is like water pours through a thing and then you get this kind of watery coffee. I really don't like it. And I've had coffee. I mean, I normally drink coffee every morning. And then I got this espresso machine and I know this, it's amazing. The coffee's great, right? And then today I'm like, oh, let's have a little fika under our umbrella. And I'm like, I know a coffee right now would be great. Oh, that would be so good. But then I took a breath and I'm like, I don't really want coffee. And then my brain goes, but a cappuccino, an oat cappuccino, that's your favorite thing. And then my body went, yeah, but right now I don't want it. And my brain went, but you love oat cappuccinos. I mean, a little cappuccino, it's way more luxurious. Like it's more special, more indulgent to have a cappuccino than it is to have like a tea or something. Have a cappuccino. And my body went, no, I don't want it. And I actually got to witness my brain and my body have this conversation around habit. Like it's a habit. Have your oat cappuccino. And it's like, yeah, but I don't want it. But it's better. It's nicer than a cup of whatever herbal tea you're going to have. Yeah, but I don't want it, you know. And then we got outside and I had these little cookies. Like they're called Tom and Jerry cookies. Every Swedish person knows what they are. Tomoyaru cakes. It's like the same cookie I had when I was Leia's age. Like when I was four, like that's what we had. It's like little, like they're really kind of shitty cookies. No, actually they're really good, but they're basic, like the most basic cookie ever. I don't know what to compare them to. They're not even like a snickerdoodle, or they're not chocolate chip or anything. They're kind of like a, what? I can't even explain. They're kind of like a vanilla, super basic, like flour cookie. Like there's nothing exciting about them, but they're shaped as the characters of Tom and Jerry. And they have Tom and Jerry on the box. It's like all the kids want them. And we were at the store and Leia was like, look, I want that. And I was nostalgic. And I was like, oh, I used to have those. Okay, let's get a box. So we got a box and she wanted some of those cookies. I put some in the bowl. We went outside and I'm drinking my tea. And then I'm like, oh, a Tom and Jerry cookie. That would be really nice. And my body went like, yeah, that would be really nice. And I had a Tom and Jerry cookie. And guess what? When I was done with my Tom and Jerry cookie, I didn't want any more. So I didn't have any more. I mean, and for people who don't have a sugar addiction or have had like issues with sugar, or maybe that haven't had these kinds of, and I think all of us have different variations of this, right? Where we have a lot of things going on with our bodies that keep us from feeling intuitively what we want and what we don't want, right? It doesn't have to be mold. Like we all have different layers of shit built up in our systems. But for me, you know, I would hear about those kinds of people who like have a cookie and that's it. Like I don't know that person. Like who is that? What kind of person doesn't finish the box? What kind of person opens a pint of ice cream and doesn't finish the pint? Like I don't know. Like I've always been like, if it's there, I'm going to eat it and I'm going to eat it all, right? And then now it's just, it's different. And I'm not trying to say this. I don't want to sound arrogant or belittle anyone. I'm trying to really, really, really share that what I thought was lack of willpower was not that at all. It was me being out of touch with my body because there were so many things in the way. Because my body was really sick. Because my body was really inflamed. Because, I mean, I still for sure have an unbelievable amount of mycotoxins in my body and candida in my gut and all these things I'm trying to heal. But I'm really certain that I've detoxed enough for me to be able to go, oh, well, hi, there you are. Like that's the feeling. It's kind of like I'm feeling myself for the first time in years. And that feeling of that entity inside that makes decisions that I don't want, that overdoes things, that eats things and ingests things and engages in things that I actually don't want, that don't serve me in any way. It's like that being, I don't know if it's out of my system or if it's just in the back seat now as I'm still detoxing and I will be detoxing for the rest of this year. But that feeling inside of, wow, that's what I need. Oh, I need to go for a swim right now. And then, yes, I can give myself that. Or, you know, I need vegan tacos and Netflix. And like, yeah, I needed that. You know, it's not about the what. Like, I'm really getting to that too. It's like, I can have, ooh, I need a gin and tonic with my friend, like, and laugh all night. Like, I did that, like, a couple days ago. Like, it's not about the what, that the alcohol is horrible, that the sugar is horrible, that everything is bad, and don't eat this and eat that. It's not about that. It's about feeling in tune with our system so that we can actually know when to give it what, when to stop, when to start, when to keep going, when to take a break, when to go to bed, you know? And I had, over the past few years, completely lost sight of that. And at the same time, you know, I had all these, I mean, I still have all these practices that kept me in tune enough that I could keep going, right? I mean, if it wasn't for all the meditation, all the practices, all the yoga, like, I really don't know where I would be. But it was also that feeling of, it took so much of it for me to even feel like myself at all, you know, because I don't know if I have been. And that feeling, you know, that I really got to have today of, oh, I don't want the coffee. Okay, so I don't have the coffee. No big deal, you know. And I got to see that conversation inside of myself. And, oh, I want the Tom and Jerry cookie, which is like full of shit, right? It's not like an organic, healthy cookie. It's like shit. It's sugar and flour and whatever. And yeah, and that's not a big deal. And no shame, no guilt, no like, oh, you're on a detox. No, it's like, ah, my system wanted that. And then that's it. And it's good, you know. And I am so interested or so intrigued to get to know the real me a little bit better. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Something that's really dawning on me is, you know, we're all kind of running in circles to find ourselves, right? And ourselves, our heart, our soul, our being, we're all in this meat suit. We're all in this body. Everything happens from the level of this body. No matter how much we meditate or how much we crave enlightenment, or no matter how much we debate things or how much we grow or read or learn or how wise we are or how much we love and, you know, how much compassion we have, how much we forgive, how grateful we are, all of that work, all the healing, it happens in the body, right? We experience everything in this life from that place of the body. So if we have a bunch of shit in the way, right? Say a lifetime of toxins, and I really am starting to think that for a lot of people, this is it. It's kind of like I touch on this in conversation or when I'm contemplating things and I get goosebumpy in terms of what's in the way. For a lot of us, having a lifetime of shitty foods, and I'm not saying this for you to shame yourself or something, I'm talking like we were all conditioned in a certain way from birth, right? It's not our fault. What our parents fed us when we were little, we get accustomed to eating and that's what we're going to eat, right? And then we might come across a bunch of different things that inspire us to want to live differently, right? To want to be healthier, to want to eat a bunch of superfoods, to want to feel healthy and look healthy and all this stuff. But that is going to be an uphill climb every moment of the day if your body is riddled with shit it can't get rid of. If your body is inflamed, if your body is sick or on the path toward illness, if your body is toxic, right? And I'm thinking about every food I've had in my life that was filled with glyphosate, that was filled with pesticides, every vegetable, every piece of lettuce, every fruit, like everything I've had that was literally sprayed with pesticide before it was put on my plate. And I didn't think that was a big deal, you know, and I really think it is a big deal. And I'm also like tentative to talk too much about this because it's also a privilege thing. Right? I mean, tell someone who can't afford to pass by the organic aisle in the grocery store, you shouldn't eat non-organic foods. It's bad for you. Well, okay, thanks. Like, what am I going to do about that? For a lot of people, you know, we can't do anything about that. We can do our best and that's it. And we can also become more aware of how fucking unfair this is and that this system looks this way. That the healthier foods are afforded by the wealthiest, you know, 1% of this world. Like, it shouldn't be that way. That basic foundational, like, put your hands in the earth and grow something and grow your own foods and put them on your plate. And that basic, like, sunshine and rain and the fact that that that's not something that we can do if we have money or if we have extra time. Or I mean, like, if you're working two jobs trying to feed your kids, like, there's no, how are you going to start your vegetable garden and where, you know? So I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with really wanting to talk about how bad this is, how serious this is, while also being super sensitive to the fact that there are no options for a lot of people in this world. But that part, you know, our the whole entire food industry of how much stuff is put in what they call food that we were fed our entire lives. I am probably now detoxing additives and food coloring and stabilizers and fillers and flavorings and bullshit put in the food that I ate when I was a kid. And I've been feeding Leia a bunch of stuff that, you know, vegan, and if it's vegan, it's fine. But no, you know, bunch of stuff that if you look at the ingredient list, it's like, oh, there's 30 things on this list. I know what half of them are, you know, half of them sound like food, but then there's this and then there's that and then there's this. And I don't know what that is, but, you know, it's vegan. So, you know, it's better than that. And, you know, it was completely impossible for me to have that awareness before I had that awareness, you know, and now I really do my best to make different choices. And I have to fight really hard for that. And it takes longer time in the grocery store, and I have to research more, and I have to be super selective. And I'm making choices now where if they don't have it, you know, if I have something on the grocery list and at the store they don't have it organic, I don't buy it. You know, I change what's for dinner. You know, we'll eat something more boring or something more mundane or something that I didn't plan. Because yeah, there was no organic cauliflower at the store, so we're not having cauliflower curry tonight. Like, we're not doing that. You know, and I never used to think that way, because I've been conditioned my whole life to think that it's not bad. And, you know, the industries and the government and everyone wants what's best for me. And I'm really starting to kind of scratch at the surface of, well, that's probably not true, right? Especially if there's a financial profit leading and running and leading the way in all of those industries. Like, it's not really about health. It's not really about nutrition, right? And I think that if you have a body that is completely full, you know, and that's going to be all of us, right? Majority of us, we're going to have stuff going on with our bodies. There's a reason why so many people get cancers. There's a reason why so many people get diabetes. There's a reason why all the stuff that happens, it doesn't just happen because there's something we're doing wrong. It's the whole system that we're living in. That's what's wrong. And when we have all those things going on in our bodies, how on earth are we going to ever be in touch with our intuition to actually know what we want and what we don't? You know, the inflammation needs to feed itself. So the inflammation in the body wants more of the bad things that keeps the inflammation going, that keeps us feeling bad, that keeps us feeling like it's impossible to make a change, right? Like getting up in the morning to work out or making healthier choices for foods. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard. I really, like, I can feel that feeling sitting on the couch at home in Aruba. Like, we just ate dinner, Leia's finally asleep. And I'm like, I need, like, bring me ice cream, you know? And like, if we didn't have any, I would go down and like rummage through the pantry. Like, what do we have? You know? Okay, we don't have that. Well, we don't have that. Well, I could make something, right? And I would freaking 9 p.m. at night after dinner, instead of just relaxing on the couch or taking my ass to bed, which is what I should be doing, I would bake at 9 p.m. something, you know, because I also would feel better. I always had this feeling like, you know, it, and still to this day, I 100% believe that always, like, if you're baking something from scratch, you know what's in that thing versus if it's store-bought. In Aruba, I didn't have the luxury of buying store-bought stuff because I'm vegan and there's almost no vegan get that kind of food over there. And then that process of actually baking, you know, being creative, you know, it's also meditative. It's like this, it's almost like I got to infuse something healing in the thing that was bad for me that I needed every day. Right? So I would like make a chocolate cake at 9 p.m. and eat that at 11 and then wonder, why couldn't I fall asleep? I try so hard to go to bed and then I'm up till 1, or I don't know why. It's like, maybe because you ate like 3 pieces of chocolate cake at 11 p.m., you know, come on. All of that, you know, it becomes impossible. And the thing that we need to really invite in this sense, because we all have stuff going on with our bodies, whether it's a low-grade inflammation or, you know, like you have to sit with your own history of stuff, right? And feel into that for yourself. And maybe you feel like you have no issues at all and life is awesome. Then I'm sorry if this was a gloomy podcast that didn't resonate with you. But for me, this has been a really big deal. And the thing that's the most important is that we bring some compassion into this whole situation. And that's what I really got to experience today, is that feeling of, wow, I tried my hardest. I could not have tried any harder to be really healthy, to take good care of myself. I tried so fucking hard. It was not that I didn't have the willpower. It was not that I wasn't disciplined enough, that I was lazy or stupid or not good enough. Or it was just the fucking mold. And now that I'm in touch with something that feels like intuition again, where I can feel my body, it's like I'm starting to remember what it feels like to go, I'm tired, I guess I'll go to bed. And I have to laugh saying that, because for so many years, I would have that feeling at night, I'm tired, and fucking fight it. I'm tired. Okay, well, let's go watch something. Let's do something. Let me pick up my phone and scroll, or, you know, let me like engage in some drama of some sort to keep the levels up, right? To keep that fight or flight mode that I'm existing in, versus just, I'm tired. Oh, let's go to bed. You know, that's such a wild idea. And it's been such a wild idea for so long. I have to laugh saying that. And it's also almost like I have to cry, because it's been so awful. It really has been so awful. And I think once we begin to heal, whatever it is we are healing on that physical level, we will realize that everything we want to heal on an emotional level, or from the level of trauma, or all the places we want to reach spiritually and all of those things, if we don't tend to the body, none of the other stuff is going to matter, right? Because we're not going to have that felt sense of the experience of that growth from the body if we have all of that in the way. If we're sick, if we're tired, all of our attention gets sucked into being sick and tired. We can't get to the next level in life. It's impossible. So we have to do this work from this physical level at the same time. And it's funny to me, it really is funny to me that I'm having all of this healing happening now. In that one, I didn't even know I was sick, right? I really didn't even know there was something major going on with my body. I just thought I was tired and my immune system was bad. You know, I didn't even know. But also, if I look back and I can really think of the one greatest year of my life, and it's one of those things where I really look at this as the best year of my life, which was the year I moved away from Sweden and I moved to Costa Rica for the very first time. And that first year, not just like traveling and visiting, but the first year of living over there on my own. And I used to think, oh, I was so courageous and brave and I had so many new experiences and the people I met were amazing. And, you know, I was meditating a shit ton. It was my most hardcore meditation phase in my whole life. And now I think about it, but what about your body? Like, what was going on with your body then? Well, that was the year I stopped eating processed foods. That was the year I stopped eating meat and chicken and pork and egg and dairy. Like, I quit all of that. And it wasn't like I was eating some grass-fed organic, like lovely beef from somewhere. Like, I was eating the shittiest shit that whatever was put on my plate that I had my entire life. You know, fried foods, bullet, whatever it was. Like the standard American diet, except it was Swedish. That's what I ate my whole entire life. I quit all of that in one go. I had months of raw food, which now, you know, I think times of raw food in our lives is great, especially if we are getting something out of our system. I just had all organic foods. I was living in this place where everything was organic. The water was amazing. I started taking, you know, amazing superfoods, and I started, like, the things I did to shift my physical health it was night and day. Right? So no wonder I felt that amazing. I mean, probably I kickstarted off a major detox that then a year later, maybe 2 years later, I ended up with an American boyfriend and started spending a ton of time in the States and found Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and started eating all the vegan junk food. I mean, I think I can kind of align that pretty well. And then a couple years down the line, I started eating dairy again. And then, you know, I shifted things, right? And I started feeling like shit again. But it's almost like I haven't equated the importance of the physical aspect. I always focused on the spiritual. Like I had so many amazing shamanic experiences and spent so much time in ceremony and so much meditation. Well, what about all the organic foods that you ate for an entire year? What about not having any bullshit come through your physical system? Like that really counts. It really counts. And the things I'm feeling now, they feel like a memory of that almost, you know. And physically, I mean, for a little update, like I still have stuff. It's not like I'm all of a sudden like winning some award for being the healthiest person in the world, right? I'm still dealing with a shit ton of stuff. We got our mycotoxin report back. It's really bad. I'm going to do another one. I'm going to wait until at least like 6 months after the first one to see if it's better. But I have a lot of aches and pains in my body. I mean, like I said, I have a lot of back pain. I feel tense in my body, almost like lactic acid. That's the feeling. It feels like I'm working out all day, but I'm not doing anything. I'm like resting more than I've ever rested in my life. And every morning I wake up sore. And I think that's a detox symptom. Other than that, I mean, I have a lot of energy throughout the day. I mean, a lot. I can breathe really well if I'm not crying. I mean, I'm not blowing my nose a million times a day. Coughing has completely gone away. I don't have headaches. I feel lighter. Yeah, I have a little more of a pep in my step. And the things that are bothering me now feel very like physical pain oriented, which I also have a feeling is something that's passing. Leia's eczema is so much better than what it was. I mean, when we got here, it was really, really bad. It's so much better. It's just not everything is great and perfect, but I have this feeling like I'm getting there slowly, slowly, right? And I really would love to invite you to inquire, you know, in this moment, what's standing in the way between you and your true intuition? That true knowing of your body and what your body actually needs, what your body actually wants, that there is that place inside of you where your ego and your spirituality and your heart and your body, where everything aligns, where your personality wants the same thing as your soul, where it's not like, oh, my heart wants this thing, but oh, I have this craving over here, you know, where everything is one. There is that place. What's standing in the way between you and that? And really take a breath there. Just really hold some space for yourself and opening up into the possibility that there is nothing wrong with you, that it's not you who are the problem, right? That it's this accumulation of fuckery that's taken place toward your body. You know, that there's been a lot of things. And of course, I didn't even mention this in this episode, but this is a whole other episode. I'll take another time. But trauma causes physical ailments. Trauma lowers our immune system. Trauma sits in the body just like disease does. So there's so many layers to this, you know, not just everything we've been eating or not eating, not just, you know, the potential toxins or mold or environmental issues. You know, it's also that past pain and the shock that might still be in your system, you know, living in that fight or flight, that completely decides how we absorb nutrients, you know, how the decisions we make throughout our day comes from that place if we're really wounded and we don't feel safe and okay. So spend some time there inquiring into that, what's standing in the way, and then breathe kindness into that place, really, that you're doing the best you can. That if right now today was the day you ate all the pints of ice cream and you baked all the chocolate cake and you ate all the shit and your body told you you were tired and you kept scrolling on social media and you didn't go to bed. Like if that day is today, if that day is every day, love yourself in that. The only thing I know is that hating on ourselves for the decisions that we make makes everything more impossible. So love yourself in that. Love yourself in whichever space you are. Just the way you are, you know? It's time for me to go to bed. Speaking of what our bodies are telling us, it's 1 a.m. here now, and I sat down to share that I'm grateful because I really, 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 really am. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. And hopeful, too. I have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Hopefully the future brings us a home somewhere, you know? But I feel really hopeful. I love you. Truly do. Thank you for listening. Take good care of yourself. And I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And of course, a huge thank you to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. This has been a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio. If you enjoyed this episode, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your podcasts. I'll see you next week.